Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
If you want respect, you gotta earn it. Damn right!
Once again, it's on. What up, B? Good to see you, my brother. How you enjoying your summertime?
It's finally going on, man. It took a little minute. For summer to show up. I mean, you know, New York was still summering, but finally here. Finally got some weather. I was very warm today.
No doubt. Yeah, it was one of those. It's definitely one of those days today. Do we have some warm weather music for the episode today?
I mean, Georgia's pretty hot.
It does get hot in Georgia.
It's pretty warm.
I mean, Georgia, yes, the state, but we talk about the actual sound, the sonics.
Are we going to find out?
Of this record.
We're going to find out how hot the sonic is.
We can preview right now.
Yeah. We got, you know, Mr. Killer Mike.
Killer Mike.
The album Michael, self-titled
yeah, album, man, Michael. You know, and, first name, technically. He don't really go by Michael, but absolutely. his first name is Michael.
For sure. Yeah, definitely. Killer Mike is not his government name. But he is, you know, I've known this man for 20 years and, you know, I've watched the trajectory, you know what I'm saying? Like, coming in the game, splash, you know, didn't really hit right away, had to find his way, you know, finally got some notoriety, found, you know, Run the Jewels. Of course, that was massive success.
For sure.
And now, outside of music, you know, just finding his voice as a politician, but, you know, as an advocate and black leader.
For sure.
In the hip hop community, specifically, so
in the culture,
100%.
I think that helped him figure out his space in the music.
Absolutely,
you know what I'm saying?
You can hear it on his album. He's finally. It's crazy because, like, you know, again, I mean, his first single I think came out in maybe like 2004, which is, you know, damn near 2 decades ago.
Right.
But you know, I feel like he's finally finding his lane. Like he's matching, like you said, matching. You know, being a thought leader and you know, mm-hmm. and educating us, you know, whether it's Bill Maher or on CNN, you know, as a talking head, but then like incorporating that with the music, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was all a build up to this moment, this Michael moment, his first album, solo album in 11 years.
Absolutely.
So we're going to get to it, B.
Yeah.
Let's get right into it. Down by Law.
Down by Law, man.
Setting it right off.
Sheesh. Yeah, I mean, you know, Down by Law is also, you know, a great title in hip hop.
Right.
If you know your shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's a phrase. It's a terminology.
Yeah, absolutely. Like it's hard. It's usually related to hardcore shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Hardcore rappers. You know,
hardcore street dudes.
Hardcore street dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like whatever your law is. So I thought that was a great title. You know, I love the consciousness. I love the way, you know, he does it throughout the album, right? Like he uses it as a he uses these songs as a method to tell his own story, some biographical, but also repent. You know what I'm saying? Like he's talking about he gives you the good and the bad with this.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, with these rappers, it's all champagne and gold chains, right? And
right.
I mean, with him, he's like, nah, like I've been through some shit. I've been through some rap shit. I've been through some real shit. I was wrong sometimes. You know what I'm saying? I've gotten it right. You know what I mean? So I love the balance of it all. Like,
For sure.
He's clearly in a good space right now,
sure.
but he went through some shit.
Even through the cover is telling, right? The artwork on the cover is the devil is and the halo.
There we go.
Right?
There
so you go. Get the duality yeah. of who Mr. Michael Render is yeah. right then and there. So this is not a
wild collar.
Wild collar everywhere. Collar came off the computer screen.
On the elbow. Collar.
Yeah, collar crazy. Yeah. Not an intro per se, no, but a great way to start the album.
Yeah.
Produced by Corey Moe. I say he talking. I like this choppy, like staccato mm-hmm. kind of flow, but he drilling it.
Drilling.
You know what I'm saying? I did say that my nigga gets to me after a while, just because.
He does it a lot.
He gets a lot. Yeah. He does a lot in the album, yeah. which. I feel like And listen, whatever your take is on the N-word and artists using it, that's fine. Yeah. I feel like Killer Mike has enough
vocabulary.
Vocabulary, one, but also rap intelligence to figure out a better way to continue a flow without kind of using that as a crutch.
But I think, you know, as somebody who's always wanted to be recognized as lyrical, you know, and I think you said this before. I think you said something like it's harder to dumb it down. Because you just want to write. So I think with him, he's trying to do the long run, right? He's trying to like throw a motherfucker in for the ignorant mode. He's trying to like find a way to gutter up the intelligence. You know what I'm saying? So he does the southern bounce which can be a lazy crutch, but I mean, you know, if your bars are mean in between, you know, you can get away with the bitch at the end.
I guess because of our level of intellect, you know what I'm saying? Like for me, it becomes somewhat annoying just hearing it repeatedly. Because I just know it's not necessary.
It's not necessary.
CeeLo Green is always necessary, though.
Whew, man. I actually wish he was, you know, because Mike is drilling it so hard on his pose, like, I feel like it would have been great to get a break from that and bring CeeLo in, because CeeLo sounds so good. Mm-hmm. Or maybe just have CeeLo, you know, I mean, he did kind of set it up.
Like a verse?
No. I mean, like, what he did at the end, but like have that in the beginning of the verse, because he's like, the flow is relentless.
Yeah, flow is relentless.
He's on your neck.
Nonstop.
He's on your neck like 24. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right, so I mean, if he broke it up a little bit, let CeeLo come in and bring his magic to it, sprinkle his thing on it. And I think we'd appreciate the verses a little more, because he's saying some crazy shit, boy.
Well, that's going to happen all through the album.
Yeah.
That's going to happen all through the album. He's talking.
He says.
Like, I started, that's the very first thing I wrote. First, he talking. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Goodness, like, he getting into this conversation.
Also very popular Curtis Mayfield sample.
Oh, right. for sure. Yeah, overall, man, like I said, produced by Corey Moe.
Study hard like John Henry Clark. Y'all don't understand.
Like, if you're the smartest black man ever. Do your Googles. I love when the artist... Not in this particular instance, but I love when I learn something in the music and I got to go search something. Really? I got to go look up a word. I got to look up a person. I love that. Let's get back to this. Down by Law, I gave it 8.5.
I give it a 9.
Give it a 9?
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay. Strong out the gate.
Bars were nutritious.
For sure. Strong out the gate. Shed tears.
And shout out to picking up his wife, too. I love that, too.
No doubt.
Face of a model, heart of a Sada.
You see them together all the time. Shea Bigga. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He's definitely... Mm-hmm. One of those artists who puts his wife right there in the front, you know, or right to his side, you know what I'm saying? He gives her props as well, right? For helping him build up and making sure he invested instead of buying material items and things. Like, you got a queen like that on your team.
Yo, man, you go far.
You're going to continue to ascend. Shed Tears, produced by No ID, featuring Mozzie and Lena Bird Miles. So, two tracks in, I'm like, oh, he got the singers. He called the singers out.
Oh, the choir's been the whole album.
He called the singers out. Oh, man.
The whole album.
Yeah,
nah, everybody got bourbon in the back. You know what I'm saying? Church. It's yams over there in the corner if you want.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
Right. We're gonna pass the collection plate around a couple times.
We do not really leave. We don't leave church too much on this album.
Oh man, he took us right to church. And you mentioned this earlier, right? Some of it is autobiographical and some of it is fictitious, man. But the bars from Mike and Mozzie talking about their life experiences is super strong. Yeah, as I'm listening to this song over and over again, I'm loving it. I'm loving the chorus. And then I realize that it's Matthew 11, 28, and 30, right? So I had to go look up. I was like, yo, wait, I know this. I know, why is this resonating with me?
Yeah.
So it's... come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you your rest.
Yeah,
take my yoke upon and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm like, I know that. I knew that from somewhere. So definitely big shout out to my grandmother.
I didn't know the actual name of it, but I knew it was from.
I knew it was a verse, and so I had to go find it, because my grandmother would not be proud of me if I didn't. You know what I'm saying? Damn, I'm like, this is speaking to me for more than one reason, because I know this already. This feels familiar to me. But it sounds amazing. How you like Mozzie on this?
I thought it was cool. I mean, I like his verse. You know, I mean, it's funny we talking about, you know, the choir and. My only real criticism with this song was that it just felt like a bunch of things that were put together. You know, Mike comes in and says his verse and, you know, gives us his spiel. Mozzie does his thing. It's kind of his own thing. But then it's about, like...
I mean, he sticks to the script, though.
No, absolutely. Like I said, his own thing. And then like the hook is just kind of like his own thing. Even the way, I don't know, the way that Mike was rhyming, it felt like it was a little, almost like the hook was added later. You know what I'm saying? Like he just had his shit and he just added it later as opposed to making it together. Like I said, no major criticism, but it did feel a little busy for me. You know what I mean? And there's certain parts on this album where it gets a little overproduced.
It gets busy for sure. I love the chorus on this. That's the driving force for the song for me. I think the chorus is amazing. Yeah. The singer, you know, sounds amazing, and you know, taking us to church with the choir and all of that.
And Mike's first verse, man, like you know, talking about how like you know. Single motherhood affected him being a father. I mean, that was just heavy.
He gets into some talk.
He gets into some really rich topics, man. Like, you know, stuff that are kind of evergreen, but just hasn't really been covered in hip hop. So you really got to tip your hat to Mike on that. Like he's covering ground that we all live with, black people, whomever, but you know, really hasn't been covered with rappers. So I love
crazy.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Grown-up rap. You know, hip hop is in its 50th year. We know that, right? I've grown past the young shit and content.
Yeah.
You know, this is why Fonte was always one of my favorites.
I'm telling you, bro.
Fonte and
I was like, I want more of this, man. I want more. Like, was it Bad Jeans?
Good Jeans.
Good Jeans. I want more of that, man.
And yeah, just like the more you live and the more you live as a black man, mm-hmm. here there's a lot of shit that we got to talk about, mm-hmm. talk through, mm-hmm. you know. Have therapy through, mm-hmm. you know, and sometimes that happens in the confines of where the music is as well. So I thought it was a solid joint, man. I gave it another 8.5.
8.5. I gave it an 8.
Gave it 8?
Yeah.
Okay, no doubt. Run.
Run, nigga, run.
Featuring Thugger. Jenny told Forrest Gump.
Run, nigga, run.
So this record has actually been
and
out
Dave
for
Chappelle,
a while.
Actually. And
yeah.
And
shout to David. Shout to David Chappelle.
So we're not asking you to be perfect. Asking you to be a leader.
Yeah.
You know, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Listen, you don't got to be perfect to start, but you got to start to be perfect.
Yeah. So, I mean, he dropped this a while ago with the video. Did you fuck with it when it first came out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I played it on the radio. Yes. I was very curious to see where Michael was going with the album when I heard this joint.
It sounds like the first single to this album.
Yeah. I like that. Definitely so. I like that he brought Thug into his world. I like that he brought Thug into his world. Like, he didn't try to do what Thug does. He brought Thug
into
his side.
Yeah.
I don't love what Thug did on the song.
I think Thug missed the note.
I don't love. I think that he, only because I actually think that when he does his shit, Thug,
no,
he got joints.
Thug gets busy.
Yeah, he got joints.
Let's get that clear.
Yeah, he got.
Thug gets absolutely busy. He can do whatever he wants to.
Right.
But again, you know what? He's been a little busy, preoccupied
for the last few months. Definitely has
so we don't know how this verse transpired. We don't know if it was an old joint. If you know,
right.
We don't know. We don't know. So
I think this came out right around the time that the Rico came out. So I'm pretty sure he did this before.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear the verse. He's still using the Run theme, mm-hmm. but he sets it off about buying bags for chicks. I'm like, I was like, wait, what? I was like, did you hear Mike?
Yeah.
You hear Dave?
Well, you know, again, he did his thing. I just don't love the fit on this one.
It didn't
you
fit.
Know what I'm
saying? I don't think he really fucked with the topic. I don't think it was somewhat
of a misfit.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Run and, you know, holding, maintaining your freedom and, you mm-hmm. know, fighting for it. Mm-hmm. He just talks about buying bitches
bags. Talking about his Young Thug shit.
I'm like, okay.
Mike also got mad flows on this joint. Like, by the time you get to the third song, you see like, oh, he gonna give you a lot of versatility in the way he's delivering these records, which I enjoy, especially when you get in a robust album of 13, 14 joints. You know what I'm saying? Like, mix it up. Give us some different perspective. Give us some different energy. Give us some different, you know, cadence.
Just playing with powder way before LeBron, man.
Come on, man.
He got a couple lines.
Listen, Killer Mike got bars. Like, we're not gonna play that game.
He can rap. Let's just establish that.
Yeah, we're not gonna play that game.
Whoever's out there watching who thought that we were trying to tap in and see if Killer Mike can rap. Like, no, let's please.
He literally. What was his last name? His last album was like Rap Music. What was the name of the last album? I think it was Rap Music.
Rap Shit, I think.
Okay. Well, Killer Mike can rap. Yeah. We've known that for a long time. Yeah, whatever. Mike Bigger, Killer Mike. You know what I'm saying?
How about Mike Bigger? I forgot about Mike Bigger.
Those guys can rap.
He tried to kill Killer Mike. You know?
Those guys can rap. What'd you give Run? Or if you have anything else to say about it?
Run. It's also, as Big Boy would say, this joint is jamming.
It's jamming.
This joint is jamming. Like, because it's kind of a protest song, but I find myself vibing to this joint, man. I'm nodding, you know what I'm saying? I'm swaying.
So is I'm Black and I'm Proud. Yeah. It's a jam.
A jam is a jam. Absolutely, man. You know, politicians lie and your favorite rapper's a con. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's joints on here, man. It's just a good joint. For it to be a protest song, and you know, it can sound militant, and sometimes those militant songs can get a little dense.
Yeah.
This joint, it's a bop, man.
It's a fine line in finding how to... give us edutainment.
Craftsmanship.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's all craftsmanship.
And it's not easily accomplished, but when it's done right, I think it's special. And really the only knock I got on this, and not to shit on Young Thug, because I actually do enjoy some of his music, I just think he was way out of his world in this one. In this show.
Come on, I don't think he could have done it. Because he actually started doing it at the end of the verse, but like he just... I don't think
he could not have done it. I just think he didn't do it. He just didn't tap in the way I feel like he could have tapped in.
100%.
Overall, what'd you give Run?
8.5.
8.5?
Yeah.
I gave it an 8. Okay. Tough joint. Enrich.
Nigga Rich.
Enrich. You said a word all album, Mike. Just put it in the damn title.
right. Nice.
Featuring Black and Erin Allen Kane, who shows up a few times on the album, and she sounds marvelous.
She does.
And she sounds marvelous.
She does.
Chef's kiss.
She does. I mean, I wasn't really familiar with a lot of the singers on this album, but like Mike has got some motherfucking, he's got some scouting eyes.
Nah, he wasn't bullshit. He's a good GM, right?
He's a better GM than Mike. Shout out to the Hornets. Yo, yeah, man. Cole just took over, right?
Cole is part of the team.
Yeah,
I love that.
But yeah, man,
Dreamville for real, right? I'm gonna be a rap star. I'm a hoop and I'm gonna buy a team.
Stop playing. I'm a hoop in Africa. Right, but I'm gonna own a team in the States. Right. Like, how about that?
Dreamville for real.
Yeah, Dreamville for real. Shout out to the whole team. But yeah, like I said, I think, you know, with this joint, you know, I think Mike does what he does in the last two joints. He's giving us those bars. I love how, you know, he takes shots at folks who, you know, at us loving, you know, New Jack City and Blow and those out. He's like, y'all not watching Fresh though? Like, that's what y'all should be watching. You know what I mean? I think you should watch them all.
I watch them all. I've seen them all numerous times. Numerous times.
Yeah, so I mean.
Can quote them all.
Yeah, right. But I mean, I love that he bigged up Fresh, because that is one of those joints that might be a little slept on.
For sure.
As popular as in New Jack City. But you know, Fresh.
Also, I think regionally, right? You think about Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You're like, Fresh might have resonated more up top than people in the South and people in other regions. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So 100%. It's definitely that.
But I mean, but then like, but well. Like, how could Fresh resonate more up top than New Jack City? New Jack City is fucking New York is a motherfucker.
That's a fact.
Like, you can't get. That's fucking Harlem.
Yeah, that's Harlem. Yeah. All right, Nigga Rich featuring Black, Erin Allen Kane, produced by Kool & Dre and 808 Ray. Yeah. Yeah, man, this is another tough joint.
You know what I love about what Mike does also, man, throughout this album? I mean, this is very much, I mean, it's almost understated, right? I mean, it's too obvious to say, right? It's a very, very Black album, right? But what he does is he makes sure that it's a Black album so that, you know, Black people across the world can resonate with it, but he makes sure that it's still Southern. So like, yeah, like he's a thought leader. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's hyper intelligent. Yeah, he's a veteran in this game. Yeah, he's lyrical, right? But he's, you know, he lets you know, like, yo, as much as I'm evolved and as much as progressive as a man, sometimes I'll be wanting that fucking, that, I just want some Gucci.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes I just want some logo shit. Sometimes I want to ball out somebody. I want to just fuck off some money. Like,
Mike and I have the same stylist, so he'd definitely be having some of that shit on.
Really?
Yes. He be having that. Shout to Marty. He be having that shit on. Okay. Marty, I get a discount for this shout out. I'm just letting you know right now.
Marty.
You know what I mean?
Marty.
Whatever the next event is, listen. 10% off for this shout right here. But yeah, no. So he definitely be putting that shit on. You know, Mike is a very well-rounded, I think, individual.
I love Mike. I have my, like, it's funny. It's crazy, too, because I guess I can say this. But like.
He said, I guess I can say
this. I can say this. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's what it is. But like. Throughout the years, me being in certain positions like magazines and stuff like that, there were times where, like, I've always been cool with Mike. Mm-hmm. We've always had a great relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And I think when things were going, like, low for him, he got low. People weren't helping him out. I don't know what it was. But, like, anytime I run into him, our conversations are amazing. It's not like, yo, what's up? You good? What's up with this? Like, it's like we have in-depth conversations, like, what's going on in his, like, for real shit, our life.
Right, right.
And I'm like, that's what you get from Mike. And the thing is, it's like, I always said this.
He's not a shallow human being.
100%. So if you have never been.
Right. If you have any relationship with him.
Since our first conversation, like my first conversation with him, of course, was an interview. And then we had a relationship. Right. Mm-hmm. But like, it didn't change. Like every conversation we have, it's very, very, there's a lot of substance to the conversation. It's never like, oh, I haven't seen you out. What up, my nigga? Da, 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 like, keep it pushing. Like, it's not that. He's always giving you something real. If I ask him how he feels, he will give you an honest answer about how he feels, for real. You know what I mean? Without giving you too much. You know what I mean? But, like, it's crazy, man. Like, Mike is just a genuine and rare breed in this hip-hop game, man.
For sure, for sure. I love that all of these years later, the relevance, you know. Yeah.
Everything he has right now, he's absolutely earned.
Earned. Nothing was given. I mean, we'll get into this when we get to the Run the Jewels song. Actually, I'll just save it for that. Okay. You got anything to say? I didn't love Black's verse on this joint.
Yeah, I thought it was smooth.
I thought it was good.
I thought it was cool. Smooth.
It was cool, but it didn't super move me, though.
It didn't super move me. I mean, Black is always good to me. He doesn't really super move me ever, but like, I think also, like, well, I think he also did Umi Over. That was fucking fire. Umi Says Over. That was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, like, he sticks to the topic.
He does.
He gives us some, like, I've never even really heard him really going like that about, you know, the block and where he stands with it and blah, blah. Like, it seemed like a Black verse for this song. So I really appreciated that. And also the texture of it, right? Like, Mike is a little aggressive, mainly. So when, you know, he's, Black is always super laid back. Right. He adds that melody. So I love the balance here.
I've heard Black deliver better, though. Okay, like, better quality verses.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Okay. Gotcha. I actually like Black. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I was a little more critical of his verse on the joint. But overall, man, tough joint, solid joint. Anything else before we get to the rating?
I give it 8.
8? I gave it 8.5.
Okay.
I give it 8.5. Talking that shit.
Talking that shit.
DJ Paul.
DJ Paul.
TY Exclusive. Mm-hmm. Producer's joint. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this one lives up to the title.
Talking shit? Talking shit.
There's a lot of shit talking. There's
a lot of shit talking.
On this joint. But I don't feel like it's a lot of real direction until we get to Mike's last verse.
No. I think it's interesting. It's called Talking Shit, right? But like the free flow shit, I don't think that's Mike's strength.
Nah.
Mike is strong when he has an agenda.
Stay on topic.
Yeah. When he has a topic, he has an agenda, he has a lot to say. He'll tell the story. He'll give you a lot. But the whole, like, braggadocious, just I'm shitting on you, you know, I'm grabbing my nuts type rap, like, that's not really Mike's strength. And on this song, it was like, damn, I actually like the beat. But like,
it's some Mike's real hypnotized not, mind shit.
Yeah,
it's like, some real, like,
this could have been a
could
have been a joint. Yeah. But what Mike did on it, Mike rapped on it. Like that. 3-6 ain't rapping like that.
Yeah, you gotta.
So it wasn't. It didn't really mesh for me. Like I didn't really care for this joint. Like
Same shit. I like the beat switches. But yeah, that's what I was just saying. Like I love the DJ Paul sound. It sounds like some classic Hypnotized Mind Memphis shit. But I don't like when Mike is just rapping for the sake.
He
of
also
rapping.
Does the shit you said you didn't like. He does the shit at the end of every verse.
Yeah,
ball,
he did that again.
The bitch at the every ball. Like he does that. You know, I don't. It 100% is not necessary here. So I didn't get it, but again, I really like the track, but
beat is tough.
Unfortunately, I didn't like what Mike did on it.
Word,
what do you give it? 7.5.
7.5. I gave it 8. I don't think anything really like even that. And let's stop to say this: Mike is so good, and the record is so good musically, and I think the overall project feels so good.
Yeah.
that you don't really go. There's not a lot of lows. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're not going to get really low on the joint. Just, you know what I'm saying?
There's no Lil Jon on this joint.
Now, I'll tell you this. For me, this next record is a high.
Ooh.
This next record is a high for me.
Okay.
Slumma.
Slumma.
Featuring J.E.
Slumma.
Love Jagged Edge. Produced by 808 Ray and Kool & Dre again.
Well, okay. Well, I'll start with what you just said because now I'm gonna start with Mike.
I like you. He's choosing his words wisely, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm gonna start with Mike, man, because again, he did it, man. Like I didn't love J. Cole's Virgin song, right? I didn't love that song, right? I have a thing with 30-year-olds talking about their virginity, but like, this is something that
again, record was hilarious because it was actually a single that played on the radio.
It was a single.
He was talking about fucking.
I never understood that shit, bro.
I was like bro,
learning how to fuck. Like,
yeah, anyway, talk about fucking.
They had a baby like 2 years later. But anyway, shout out to the Hornets.
Shout out to the Hornets. It's crazy. But while we're doing that, shout out to my man Norm Richardson, who's one of the assistant coaches on the Hornets.
Oh shit! This is again something that we've all experienced, right? I mean, hopefully. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, your summers are usually lit.
Right.
Summers are usually more lit when it comes to women than the winters. Summers. When you're young.
Yo,
don't do it. Don't do it. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't leave me.
I will go down.
Violate your mom's couch, me.
I will go down to DC.
Are you traveling? You traveling young?
Yeah, I was traveling young. Still, and be the New York guy.
Son, I get
down
it.
Down in DC.
I get it. I went to Howard's homecoming for the first time when I was 15.
Oh my God.
Man, gin and juice.
What were you doing
drinking
there?
Drinking gin and juice.
All right, Snoop.
Drinking was 93, yo. Like, son, that's what we did. Drinking gin and juice, yo. It was crazy.
All right, guys, get back to
that. Anyway. So again,
don't ever mention my young summers though. Bruh, don't do that.
Young summer. Don't do that. Dear summer.
Right. I know you're gonna miss me.
So I'm saying, like, yo, again, like, he could do the whole, like, I had a girl in the summer, but he could do this could be a very pedestrian song.
Right.
But what he does was he gives us this wasn't some ego shit. It's not like, I was fucking mad bitches in the summertime. Like, he's saying, like, had an older chick, right? I can relate to, you know what I'm saying? You had an older chick. She was, whatever, whoopty whoopty whoop. And then she gets pregnant by an older dude because she don't just belong to you because you're the little dude. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You break up because she gets pregnant by another dude. Then come to find out, then another summer, you go and get another chick pregnant. You think that's going to be yours. You actually think you were ready for fatherhood. The mother's not having it. You know what I mean? You gave up the money. You told your boys. I mean, like, you can see all of this. Like, if you haven't dealt with this, as a black man, as a black, young black man, you have your boys who've dealt with this. Somebody within your circle, if not you, has dealt with some of these elements, if not the majority of them.
If I'm in your circle, it's me.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like the older chick during the summertime, loved it. I was cloud nine, blah, blah, blah. But she don't just belong to you, bro, because you the little, you know what I'm saying? Right. You're the young dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Getting pregnant by another dude. I haven't experienced that, but happened to my man, to a couple of my men's. You know what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, lied to them and said it was their baby. Like, it was craziness. So him to, like, cover this ground, Mike is in his 40s, man. To cover this ground, man, and, like, have everybody reminisce on it without it feeling like we're talking about our virginity, man, I just think is high craftsmanship, man.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought at some point you were going to compare it to the J. Cole shit.
No. I was, that's what I'm saying. This is a great way to do this. This makes me feel like, I can sit in this. Like,
yeah, I can sit in this.
That doesn't feel like, I don't, like, come on, bro. Nah. Like, I've been fucking for how many years? What are you talking about?
Right.
Like,
it just, the approach was totally different.
Yeah.
This just feels way more mature. It's
way
heavier.
More mature. It's definitely.
It's heavier.
Definitely.
It has more.
It's way layered. It's way more layered.
It has more gravity.
Way more layered. You're changing time, context, and all of that.
It's crazy. So what, you didn't like Jagged Edge on it?
I did not like Jagged Edge on it, man.
Why?
I did not like it. The riffing, I didn't think it was super on the nose. Like, we already know what the song's about. Like, you going riffing about the summer. I was hyped when I saw Jagged Edge. I love Jagged Edge.
I loved it.
You loved it?
Yes.
Nah, I didn't. didn't do
the beat, the sample, and the way they sound, and what Mike is talking about, and how it makes me feel, like the way they pull the music out in the last verse.
I wish,
and
that shit
is just, oh my God.
I love the track. I actually wish Mike would have left. I don't know how he would have done it, because I love the way he tells a story, but he tells it, his flow is almost like party-like. His flow is almost like a club record, but he's telling a really in-depth story. But like under it, that beat is great. Like the samples and the vocals under it, I was like, I actually wanted to hear more of that. So like maybe if he would have gave it more space, I love this track. He's very much on top of it. Love the story, but yeah, I didn't love the riff.
I thought it all came together rather marvelously.
Yeah.
I think Jagged Edge sounds great. Like I just love hearing their tones. You know, like them boys can sing. I love hearing their tones. I love the sample. I love what Mike is talking about. And like I said, man, I feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love, at this stage in my life, I want to hear music that make me feel something. And this record definitely, it's nostalgic. It's grown. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of some of my own experiences, although not specific story. Yeah, yeah. But enough to make me go back and, you know, think about my summers, my slummers, right?
Slummers.
You know, that $400 line hit. That line hit, boy. Baby. I wouldn't have told my guys. Yeah, I think the storytelling on this is brilliant.
Yeah, it's really good storytelling.
You know, this young lady who's wise beyond her years and dealing with grown folks the music I think is brilliant. I gave it a 9.5.
Ooh.
I really like this record.
I gave it 8.5.
8.5?
Yeah, I think
it's
just because I thought, again, like I really wanted to hear like the, it sounded a little busy kind of production wise. Like, you know, it was like so many vocals under
it. It was a lot of shit happening. It wasn't overwhelming to
me. You gotta remember, like we always say, when you rhyme a certain way, right, when you especially like, you know, like Busta, right? When you rhyme a certain way, you on top of the beat like that, you become an instrument.
Yeah, yeah.
So to have your instrument as the lead instrument, then the vocals under with Jagged Edge and then the sample at the same time, I was like,
felt good. It felt rich in my soul.
Felt good. Okay, yeah, landed. It landed.
Scientists and Engineers.
Okay, now.
People been talking about this record since the album dropped.
A lot of conversational.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I almost forgot
Future was on it.
Featuring Andre 3000, Future, Aaron is on this one as well. Produced by everybody that went to the studio that day. A lot of people on it.
Produced by Gang.
Yeah, produced by Folk and Gnome. I mean, come on, bro. What are we going to do? We're going to talk about how
I don't want, I'm like, where we start? You're like, I'm going to let you run it.
Surgical Andre 3000.
Hey, everyone. It's Justin Biggs here from the Biggs vs. Biggs podcast. If you're a fan of sports podcasts, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Biggs vs. Biggs, a show that covers upcoming fights, fight reviews, and interviews with some of boxing's brightest stars. And it's brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
Again, for the millionth time.
Why you break up Oblivion, son? So why you do that?
It's Oblivion. Yo, it's Oblivion.
Oblivion, Neon. Like, Neon Beyond. Like, what do you, why? Yeah. Why? Like, he's bored.
He's bored.
He is fucking bored.
He's like, how can I just rearrange the.
Let me just play with letters. Let me play with syllables.
Yeah, syllables.
He's not even rhyming words. Yeah. Let me just play with syllables.
These syllables.
Yo.
You know what I'm saying?
Andre 3000 is so bored with words, he plays with syllables.
He making them new words.
How about that?
He making them new sounds.
That is crazy.
He making new phonetics.
What?
Yeah.
Oblivion, Neon, Beyond.
Yo. Yeah, nah. It all connects still, right? It all comes back together.
Because it's nothing. Because that's why it connects. It's nothing. There's nothing. It's nothing. It's everything and nothing. That's what his verse is.
It's everything and nothing.
It's everything and nothing.
But you said something interesting. You said you almost forgot Future was on it.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? Because Andre 3000 verse is a moment, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Future sits very nice in this record.
Lovely.
Unlike...
He balanced it so well.
That's the word.
Mike Spitz is like one of his best verses ever.
Everybody came to the studio that day, ready to work.
So it's Dre being Dre.
Dre being Dre.
Mike's one of Mike's greatest verses ever.
But Mike being Mike, right?
Mike, very much Mike, right, absolutely, right? Dre being Dre, Mike being Mike. And then you got Future, who can mail it in sometimes.
But Future's being Future.
But he's being primo Future, like... Yeah. Bro, what he does, oh man, he had a couple lines in there, man. I'd rather be an outcast in the world of envy.
Yeah,
like, he had a couple lines in there. He's laid back on it.
Sounds good.
Because these dudes are so aggressive with their delivery. He lays back on it. He gives you the melody. Oh, man.
I love that it shows the versatility of Atlanta, right?
Oh, yeah.
Three homegrown ATL artists.
All different.
All different. Yep. All came and stayed exactly in their lane and made it work. That's the power of, you know what I'm saying? 100%. Like the hub of what Atlanta is and how musical they are.
Right.
And how many different chambers there are there. Everybody's not an Andre 3000. We know he's an alien.
Most people aren't.
Right? Everybody's not a Future. Nope. In his lane, he is the father of all of that shit.
What's the song that Rick, what's the song that made you realize Future was a star?
Was a star?
Yeah.
Hmm. That's difficult. That, I would have to think about it.
That? Okay.
That's difficult. Because the songs that I felt made him a star were not my favorite joints. I just understood why they worked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no. I'm
like,
not,
March Madness, I love. Like,
that's his greatest song ever.
Right. But his, that. But by that point, he was already, you know what I'm saying?
It was, like, it was Turn on Lights for me.
Oh, Turn on Lights is incredible.
And I heard that. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I heard it actually in the club. I'm like, oh.
Oh, you heard it in the proper setting. Right where you were supposed to be. Yeah, no, that one. Because I didn't really love Tony Montana. Yeah, I didn't.
I got it.
But I was like, oh, I get it. But I did not see Future being who Future is today. But yeah, that turned on. He really caught that.
The Thames record is a little annoying to me, but whatever. Anyway. But he does his thing on this.
People love that record.
People love that. People love Thames, that's why. She's a cheat code.
She is a cheat code. And I'm going to shut up because you almost set me up. Yep. You know, you know, we play with words.
Okay.
We play with words. Right. What did you give scientists and engineers?
Don't get you got to come home. You got to come home.
You still talking. You still talking.
I gave it a 9.
Maybe not. I gave it 9.5. It's right there. It's
probably 9.5.
Yeah, it's right there.
Probably 9.5. It's right there.
Very, very.
I'm going to go up. I'm going to go up.
All right. I liked it.
9.5.
I like it. 100%.
Is there a criticism, though? Like, do we have to justify this half slight?
That's difficult because it's a great record.
Right.
It's not.
Doesn't mean it's perfect.
It's not a perfect record.
It's not perfect.
It's a great record.
Yeah.
It's, you know what? You know what? If I had to give any criticism, replay value wise, it's not a record that I'm going to play a lot.
Ooh.
I got to want to be in that zone for
that
record.
You just foreshadowed some questions I have for you.
Okay.
I
like that. Okay. Unlike what you're doing, sir. That would probably be the only criticism of the joint. As we get into track 8, 2 Days, featuring Ty Dolla $ign, produced by Don Cannon.
I really like this song.
Another stellar flow.
I really like this song. Yeah.
Another stellar flow.
Yeah. Relentless again. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really deviate. It's even like he does this cool, like, robotic Pimp C thing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I wish though, again, because the beat is so hard. It's like it sounds like some real like Gary Clark Jr. rock star hip hop shit. I really love the fucking beat. I wish he like, you know, again, deviated a little bit from, because like Ty Dolla sounds amazing.
Oh, he's in his soul bag.
He sounds amazing. I wish he would have came earlier. And again, it's the same thing I said with the intro and CeeLo. I wish that he's so relentless with the flow and it's so good. I wish we'd have like broke it up with how good Ty Dolla sounds, break that up and then get back into it. You know, again, little tweaks, but love this song, love the track. Mike does his thing again, he's drilling it. I mean, fucking Ty Dolla always sounds good, honestly.
If you are just a casual fan and listener though, you might not know the depth of a Ty Dolla $ign. Right, you might just know him from these more popular records.
Nah, boy, gets busy.
Like when you really get into like the Beach House tapes and all of that, like that's when you really see Ty Dolla $ign in his bag.
Yeah.
He wanted them once.
I mean, like people would never stand him next to Frank, but like they're cut from the kind of same cloth. They just have different styles.
You play a game
now. They have different styles.
You want smoke now?
I'm just saying they do. He's
way more productive than Frank. He's way more active.
No doubt. I mean, and they have different styles, but I'm just saying like. The way they go about it and the uniqueness and the way they just take fucking melodies and bend them and lyrics and bend them.
Yeah, he's great. Great at finding those melodies.
And he's wavy, like, you know what I'm saying?
And he wavy.
Frank is a weirdo, but I'm saying he's just fucking ill with it.
Frank is an introvert.
You could be an introvert and not a weirdo.
Ty Dolla $ign is wavy.
Wavy,
he sound cool, he dress cool, he show up cool, you know what I mean? What'd you give the joint?
8.5.
8.5?
Yeah.
I gave it an 8. As we proceed, Spaceship Views featuring Currency, 2 Chainz, and Cash Page, produced by the Honorable C-Note. What's your view of the Spaceship, B?
My view?
Yeah.
View of the song?
Of Spaceship Views.
Spaceship Views. I feel like we needed this, you know what I'm saying? It's like Southern lyrical shit. You know, Mike's rapping a lot on this album, so like, you know, you want to see him, you know, you want to see him next to, I mean, you always want to see everybody next to Dre, right? But, you know, next to 2 Chainz, you know what I'm saying? Next to, you know, Currency, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, I thought it was cool. I mean, it's a good groove joint. I'm never really a big fan of Currency, honest, unfortunately.
Really?
He just never rhymes on beat anymore, you know what I'm saying? I loved him a lot. When he was with Wayne, I loved him. And he just, now he's all high and like, I might come back on the beat, I might not, you know?
I think his tone is so unique that he always his sounds voice is good. Yeah, he always sounds good to me.
Yeah.
But when he has a presence on records.
100%.
He has a presence on records.
Yeah.
I've learned to deal with the out-of-the-pocket thing. You know, it's not my favorite. But I don't think that he always does it either, though.
I feel like he does it on purpose, though.
Yeah. It's just like, he's super laid back, cool.
He has a drunken style.
It's drunken style?
Yeah.
But you tolerated ODB, though.
Yeah, tolerated. It's a completely different artist,
what you mean?
Though.
He was a drunken style.
That motherfucker could sing, though.
Drunken style.
I think we'll bust into a whole Mahalia Jackson rendition, my nigga. You kidding me? You comparing ODB to Currency?
No, I'm comparing drunk. I'm comparing drunken style.
That's fucking...
That's different drunk?
There's malt liquor and it's fucking bourbon. Like, that's a different type of alcohol, my guy.
I like the way that everyone sounds on this record. I think sounds that good. Currency showed up, and I loved hearing him. Mm-hmm. It really broke up the monotony.
Yeah,
I get excited when, especially on a feature. Mm-hmm. You know, like a Currency album or a mixtape where it's a lot of Currency and a lot of his tone can get a little redundant.
Mm-hmm.
But a feature from Currency always perks my ears up.
It's a good choice to have him go first too.
Tony on the record is always gonna perk my ears up. Mm-hmm. You know, you just never know what you're gonna get with 2 Chainz, right? You know he's not gonna mail it in though.
No.
He's not gonna mail it in.
No.
You might not love it, but he's never gonna mail it in. He's always gonna do what he needs to do by his own standards. Yeah. But I think he showed up on this one and did what he did.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Like you said.
I'm talking that shit.
He talked that shit.
I don't think there's anything superbly exceptional lyrically. I just think everybody did their thing. You know what I mean? Like nobody played themselves, nobody mailed it in. Everybody was actually like looking to write, you know, give this song a tough verse. You know?
Yeah, when so Killer Mike called you and said, yo, get on my record, you better not play yourself.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like
stretch.
Like, yeah, stretch.
You know what I'm saying?
Stretch. Get a good night's sleep.
Right. Make sure that's the verse. You know what I mean? Maybe you want to edit a little bit.
Yeah. Don't just send it right away.
Because you will get stomped.
Yeah, don't just send it right away. Let it marinate. Yeah, I like Spaceship Views. I gave it an 8.
8, same.
Word up. Exit 9.
9.
Featuring Blast.
Yeah, man.
Produced by Beat Butcher. So Blast has shown up on every album that matters in the last
year
and a half. You know what I'm saying? 12 to like 16, 18 months.
That's right. It's July now. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's
a year and a half. Yep.
They call his phone. You know what I'm saying? Like the ones that you want to hear from, they want to hear him on their shit. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Because I've, you know, talked to the A&Rs and the music dudes, and Blast and Don Toliver are the dudes, man, that people are like, all right, they're expecting to like come up.
Yeah.
You know, they I don't know if they would consider them in the G League right now or JV, but like people are expecting them to graduate and be on that major level.
We talked about this Don Toliver shit.
100%.
His albums, his projects be grooving, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Them shits be jamming.
Good music.
Yeah, man. Them shits be jamming.
Good music.
He hasn't got quite over the hump. Like people know his name, but he's not a household name. But as far as what he go in the studio and do.
He just needs story, man. He doesn't have story yet.
People we want to hear from, respect him and want to hear from him.
He don't play himself.
So he shows up. He shows up on these joints. How'd you feel about Exit 9?
I loved him on this.
Mm.
Loved him on this. It might be my favorite hook on it, honestly.
Okay.
Just clean, well written. And again, we have these big, robust hooks. It's a lot of choir shit. Like, again, some of it gets a little noisy. Something that doesn't really match, or it's just a little too much. Like some of these songs are kind of overproduced, right? But like with this one, it's just like, even again, just the pen of it. Like, I just love the hook, the way it's written. It's perfect. It's a perfect hook for Mike. Mike's laid back on it. You know what I mean? He's still spitting, still dropping, but it's not like he's not trying to like prove to the world he's lyrical again. He's giving you just like what this song needs. And I'm like, I like Mike sounding comfortable. And he actually sounds more comfortable on the latter half of this album than he does in the beginning.
Interesting. Yeah. I have a different take.
Okay, good.
I don't feel like this is as potent as what we've gotten so far.
That's a good word though. I could see you on that.
Yeah, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it's as potent. I don't feel like it, you know, Mike set the bar really high, right? Mm-hmm. There's been some phenomenal rapping. Yeah. There's been some extraordinary singing. There's been some incredible production. So I feel like the bar is set high. I don't think it's a bad record. I just think that maybe sequence-wise, it could have come early in the album, or it's just not hitting as hard as some of the joints that we've heard already.
I think it's sequence actually kind of perfect because, again, it actually, like, it's almost like a breath of fresh air. Mike has been so relentless, right, with his flow. He's been so deliberate. Like he's giving you specific flows, let you know, I could do that shit too. I could be lyrical. I got a lot to say. Protest records with Run, right? Like big choirs, a lot of screaming. Like it's very almost like, it's like Southern Public Enemy in the beginning of this album. Mm-hmm. And then, but now we're kind of getting into the more smoother, laid back, introspective. I want you to hear me a little clearer. I'm dealing with a little bit more emotional stuff. You know what I mean? So I think this song is actually a great bridge into where we're about to go.
I feel that. I still don't feel content. It's just the song. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not keeping me in the space, in the headspace. I feel what you're saying about a reset and you know, grin a different transition into the second half of the project. And I feel like maybe if we got more moments like that, I would agree with that more. But I think we still stay heavy. You know what I'm saying? Like, we about to go to something for Junkies and Motherland. Yeah. Like, we still
The topic is still heavy. I'm just saying the tone of it. Yeah, you know what I mean? The tone of it is a little more.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't my favorite joint on it, man. I feel like I said, I think bar was set really high. I think this one falls a little short.
But Blast is my favorite on it, on the song.
Shout out to Blast.
He makes the song for
Shout out to Blast. Yeah. Shout out to B Butcher. Would you get a joint?
8.5.
8.5? I gave it 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah. Something for the Junkies.
Hell of a topic.
That was an interesting title, bro.
Hell of a topic.
That jumps off the page.
Nobody's ever given an ode to Junkies.
We got something for the honeys from Montel. We got something
for the hustlers, too.
We got something for the hustlers. You know what I mean?
A lot of
we let the smoke and shine the coops.
Bruh.
But we never did something specifically for the Junkies.
Yeah.
Killer Mike is a fucking fool for this record, bro. Yeah. Girl. He is a fool for this record.
Again.
Oh, my God.
Topics and things that were right under our noses that we've lived with all our lives, right? But it's like, from a rapper's standpoint, it's always, the Junkies were always the butt of the joke, right? Dance contest for the smokers. You know what I mean? Like, it's always been that thing for this dude, for him to humanize the addict. You know what I'm saying? And then, not only just humanize the addict, right? But then give you his personal account. Like, auntie was a, you know what I mean? Like, we all got an uncle, you have to be auntie, courageous, cousin.
Right? You have to be courageous enough to be vulnerable. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so the storytelling on this, and like you said, humanizing the people that are commonly the butt of the joke.
Yeah.
We used to make them, you know, jump off the gate into the sticky bushes. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, jumping the thorns for $2. Exactly. Crazy shit. Like, we was kids.
Stupid shit.
Reckless, dumb, immature shit, right?
Because you didn't look at them as human beings. That's what I'm saying. Like, to see him humanize them now. You know, they were just really like, you remember Night of Living Basshead, Pump
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
No, we didn't look at them like really humans. Like, they were fucking...
They were like...
They were ghosts.
Like show ponies.
Exactly, yo, for real. Like, they were half dead. So, like...
It's sad when you think about it. Like, in our big age, you know what I'm saying? We can look back on it and just be like, damn, this is my uncle, aunt. My uncle, aunt. You know what I'm saying?
We didn't have remorse for them like that. You know what I mean?
So, no goddamn guidance.
But then it was like, you didn't even recognize, like... There was like the Felicia, like Friday. It was like, there was like those kind of fiends.
Right.
And then it'd be the fiend who come over for Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? And like, you don't really know how high that he or she is. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Like, the functioning. Produced by Cannon, No ID, Lil Shalimar. I think the Farrakhan excerpt is extraordinary. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
It's just, man, listen.
Man, you want to feel small?
Yeah.
Listen to Lewis.
It's just... It get right to it.
Man.
And that's
exactly what we just talked about. Right. Like, they were the butt of our jokes. And like, oh, we were playing ourselves, too.
We were playing ourselves. Exactly. Yeah, I think the storytelling in the second verse is
second
like...
Second verse takes it to another
level. Yeah, it's a movie.
Oh,
it's a movie.
She paused, took a hit, came back.
Yo,
to the
that
story.
In the production, right? So you got to drop the beat out. Oh, got while she, to. While she go through that, you know, while she
nodded
go through that,
off mid conversation and came back,
when
bro.
She go through that feeling.
Oh,
you know,
man.
I don't know if you ever seen somebody hit.
Listen,
a stem, right? Listen, smoking crack.
Listen,
and where they go, like it's an out of body experience, and then they come back. Listen, and that's the high that they continuously
could be,
chase.
They could be standing up, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Knob, when you're like, wait a minute. We saw, like, yo, is he going to hit the ground? He going to hit the ground? He almost. Oh, he got back up. Like,
oh, them dope fiends, yeah.
Like, son,
them dope fiends.
Them Heron?
Yeah, they get this close to the, they get this close to the earth level.
Pop back
and then
up.
Pop right back up. It's crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, man, but just that, this record definitely is one of the ones that made me feel
joint.
Something.
Special joint.
You know, as you were talking, it made me think about how much a dollar costs Kendrick Lamar, right?
Mm-hmm,
with the transient at the mm-hmm. gas station, yep. You know what I'm saying? That turns out to be God, right?
Right.
Crazy story. When you talked about how many people are tackling these type of topics, like mm-hmm. the special artists get to that place.
Yeah.
They go a little deeper than,
absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And they give you something more.
But also, like, I mean, you know, it's fucked up too, because you think about the crack era, especially brown and black communities, like, yo, a lot of initial crackheads, they got hooked on crack partying.
Mm-hmm.
They just was, they motherfuckers
they was
who smoked
doing,
weed.
Yeah. They
and
was, yeah.
smoked the wrong blunt.
Right.
A lot of the initial crackheads started like that. That's crazy.
There's a mention of the DMX story.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
with
yeah,
the
yeah,
lace with
yep.
the lace blunt.
Yep.
Man.
He said he dealt with a lace blunt as well.
Right.
Kendrick talked about also hitting the shenanigans. You know what I mean?
Like, the shenanigans?
Shenanigans, man.
It's an excellent album. Love that album.
It's amazing, man.
Love that album.
Favorite Kendrick album.
Something for the junkies. Where we at?
Well. It's funny you mentioned this, right? You were talking about Kendrick. So I asked you, like, how much playback appeal does this song have?
Of the album?
No, this song.
Of this song, how much replay value?
Yeah, it's a great song, but it's like, do you go to, like, do I want to hear about the Junkies?
No.
Regular.
No. Yeah. It's a great record in the confines of the album. It's not one of the ones that I'm going to go back
right.
to
okay.
and play, because the music that makes you feel something,
mm-hmm.
it even make you feel good and uplift
yeah,
you,
yeah.
or it's really heavy.
Yeah.
And this is heavy. Like, I don't want to continuously have this moment 3 and 4 times a week.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, this shit is, it has gravity.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So don't bring me all the way down.
And also, it brings me back to some my own dark shit. You know
precisely.
What
this is what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
don't take me there.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah. I gotta live with that enough.
Right. I literally had
I
mean, to live
I don't
through
need
it.
No more reminders.
I had to live through it. Y'all watched it on TV. I was there.
I gave something for the junkies 8.5.
I gave it 8.5 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gave it 8.5
good
as well.
Joke,
it was actually, I got in here, it was an 8 until that second verse in the closeout.
Mm. Oh, the yeah. closeout is also
yeah.
great.
It turned it up even more. but yeah, man, it's just a very poignant record.
Very
you know what I'm saying?
Very poignant.
Motherless,
oof.
Another title.
Oof.
This is not anybody's rapping with a song called Motherless, because you know that could go any kind of way. This is Killer
shout
Mike.
To, shout out to Ghostface,
right?
Mother Child,
right? But he's of that ilk too.
Right.
He's of that cloth too.
Yeah.
You know, certain rappers you see Motherless on the track list, and you're like, I knew this was gonna be something.
Yeah, nobody.
Killer Mike.
Nobody out mothers Ghostface Killer. Though. Nobody out mothers Ghostface Killer.
Yeah, but this is beautiful. You know,
beautiful.
This is beautiful.
Beautiful.
I got obviously.
I got to say beautiful. I got it right here.
It's classy. It's classic. I think mm-hmm. closing with Aaron over those church organs mm. is goosebumps. Like,
and I like Mike's delivery on this, man. You know, this album started off with him being so aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really trying to prove the fact. Not prove. I mean, you know, just reminding motherfuckers
right.
that I get busy.
That's his comfort zone.
Yeah.
Like, that's where Mike spends most of his time.
That's interesting.
In your face.
That's funny because it's interesting because, like, this song and actually this song and the last song, I felt like he was sounding the most comfortable. And I'm like, yo, like, for instance, probably the song I probably liked the least on this album was Talking Shit. Mm. And he's, like, trying to hit it. And I'm like, it's so unnecessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that beat doesn't even call for it. It's like we got it already. Like, you already gave us the fucking first verse. You gave us Down by Law. You gave us Run.
Right.
Like, you don't really gotta kill it. You know what I mean? Mm. And, like, he's actually, like, laid back under the beat. You know what I'm saying? Like, just comfortable and just painting those pictures and giving us those that imagery. Right. Sounds just beautiful.
You can have an easy, like, you can have a game where you just drive into the basket
all day.
And you going downhill and you got an agenda.
You could be Mike 1988 or you could be Mike 1992.
You can have a smooth, elegant off the backboard glass, go to the line. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, you can, you know, it's two styles of play, right? Yeah. And they can both be effective. Right. Like the quiet 45 is impressive. Like, yo, wait, he had
Wait, how? Where?
How you get 42?
Tim Duncan?
What are you talking about? Like when guys are on a mission, you know, that's one style of play.
For the ball, everybody.
Right. That's one style of play. But I respect a quiet 42 performance. Yeah. I think that's what Mike gave us on this motherless joint.
I like that, man.
You know, sometimes we so used to how we rap and how we learned. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking as an MC, mm-hmm. and maybe you can speak to this as well, but it's what we know. So it's what we automatically defer to.
Right.
Even though we have more in our toolbox, even if we have more in our repertoire, you know, just going to your comfort zone is the easiest thing to do.
Right.
And so, although as listeners, we might listen and say, damn, Mike sound great. He need to stay in this zone more. This is probably more effort. The laid back shit, ironically, is probably more effort because he's so used. I mean, he's a big guy. He has a big presence.
Yeah.
He sounds heavy on records. No doubt. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm sure that's how he likes to give it up. But this one is crazy. The production is amazing.
So good.
It's a very, very tough record. I love these type of feels toward the end of your album. Mm-hmm. You know, in my mind, this is how you're supposed to close out. These records feel like the ending of the story.
Mm. What'd you give it?
I gave it a 9.
Same.
Yeah? Tough nine. Yeah. Don't let the devil, produced by LP, mm-hmm. No ID, and Lil Shalimar, featuring LP and Thank You Good Sir.
Mm-hmm.
LP of obviously Run the Jewels fame. Mike and LP have had great success together.
Global success.
Yeah, two guys who were in probably a crossroad in mm-hmm. their career mm-hmm. at mm-hmm. that time that got together mm-hmm. that found lightning in a bottle.
And made something special.
And made something that resonated mm-hmm. with so many people that they're probably one of the most known unknown groups in recent time in mm-hmm. history.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. you can go down the street and ask about Run the Jewels and mad people like, I don't know what you're talking about, or they think you're trying to take their chain. But they could fill up a stadium somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, or they could do one of these huge ass festivals with 200,000 people. Right, so I say that respectfully, like, not household names in that, but definitely in the right circles and communities, they are huge.
Well,
with that being said, I was never the biggest RTJ fan.
Same.
Yeah. I like what Mike does.
I think it was also because I wasn't really a big LP fan.
Yeah.
I think that might have been it. I'm also not a fan of this song.
Yeah, my least favorite song on the record.
Yeah,
yeah. It's cool. I'm not big on RTJ. Literally what
I
have. Not.
But I mean, it's also what Mike is doing on his record is not what he's done in his album.
He's
doing Run the Jewels.
No, it's a Run the Jewels song.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't think it was necessary because just give us the Run the Jewels record and let those records live in that space.
I mean, I get it, having a Run the Jewels record on your joint, but
I understand it, I like that you
got to nail it if you're going to do it, man.
Yeah, I like that you just went so elsewhere with this project. You didn't have to.
Mike did say smack chickpeas out your cheek to drool hummus. I was like, that's kind of funny.
That's one of my favorite meals.
That's kind of funny.
Both.
Not that hummus.
Not hummus drool. No, we good. I'm good on that. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say about this joint.
It doesn't sound like it just doesn't do anything for me. The beat is super lackluster. Like, I do not like L's verse.
Especially because I love so much on this record. Yeah, and coming off the two records.
Yeah. And if you compare this Mike verse to any of the verse on this album, like, it doesn't stand up.
Yeah, man. So that's all I got to say about that. You know,
I
gave it a 7.5.
Give it 7.
Give it 7? Yeah.
7.
Yeah. High and Holy.
But I love this last song.
So High and Holy, title-wise, is a double meaning, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Normally, if you acting high and holy, you know, you acting higher than thou, holier than thou, you know, above others, right? But Mike is a pothead. So he's going to show you the high and the holy. Like, I'm high, right? We go right back to when we talked about the top of the record, the album cover, and that duality that he lives in, right? You juxtapose the angel halo with the devil horns. That's kind of closing out. Like, I'm holy, but I still get high. I'm high and holy. You know what I'm saying? And not in the way that you would think. So I love that. It was super clever. It was super clever.
I'm high-minded. I'm also high off that shit.
It works on so many different levels. Another Ty Dolla $ign feature. Tag produced by Tag Beats. Yeah, man. I love the play on words.
It's funny. Mike is in his, again, talking about these deliveries, right? It's different than the top of the album. He's in his Scarface background. He's just talking. And I mean, it sounds so good.
Sounds excellent. We neglected to talk about his voice. He has a great voice for rap. He has a great voice. You know, there's certain people that can rap.
Period.
He has a great, but I'm speaking in the rap term because there's certain people that rap really good, but I don't love their voice. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Mike just, certain people just sound like they're supposed to make records.
100%.
And Mike is one of them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Great voice. No, I think he sounds perfect on this album. And I actually wish he did, you know, I would say, like, sit back a little bit. Because Run the Jewels stuff is also super rappity rap. Like, you know, they cater to a very...
Yeah. They make festival music.
They make festival music. They are, I mean, I hate to say it, but, like, they cater to white boys who love rap.
Yeah.
White boys who love rap. That's their shit. You know what I mean? So, like...
Who buy rap, who buy merch, who buy tickets.
Absolutely.
I get it.
100%. But the rap style is a little different, though.
Yeah, very much
so. It's a little different. It's very much Beta Eminem. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's
got to
be...
no soul.
It's got to be lyrical.
There's no soul.
There we go. It's not a lot of soul. And the crazy part is, Michael Render is an extremely soulful brother.
He's a soulful man from the South.
Extremely soulful dude.
He grew up on collard greens and shit. Absolutely, you know what I mean? Beans.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, for him to close this out, talking about high and holy, the double entendre, like not just mailing out, like, I'm gonna get high. It's like, no, like, I've evolved. I've come up I rose out of some shit. Phoenix shit, right. You know what I mean? Out of the ashes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, of course we still get high, blah, blah.
But I'm still from that.
I'm all still spiritual because I come from, you know, Georgia. You know, like the women that raised me were spiritual.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I just love him in this bag, man. You know what I mean? I hope this is like I don't know if this album is like his magnum opus, but I feel like this might be the step before the mag. This might be the 8701 before Confessions. You know what I'm saying? So
tough. Yeah. Tough. I like that. I think that's a great, I think it's a great synop.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. I think by my standards, this is his best solo project.
Oh, 100%.
He's just
100%
grown, and it's so telling that when guys hit their 40s and they find this stride of enough life lived, combined with enough intelligence, with enough success,
but still tapped into the craft. Because remember,
right.
And I date a 40-year-old rapper, forgot how to rap.
Yeah, that's I don't like it. I don't like that.
So bad.
Like, yo, bro, how did you forget?
So bad.
How did you, like, do you hear yourself? You know, but I think that now where we are, man, we are seeing that some of our rappers who age are some of the best at the craft, making the best music of their career. And this, I pointed out in hip hop because, you know, like, people talk about Quincy Jones making his best record in his 40s or 50s or something like that, right?
Tina Turner.
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, in other genres of music, they respect that you get older and get better at your craft. Absolutely. And you make the better shit. In hip hop, because it's always been deemed a young person's sport, you know, they look at you as you age in hip hop as it's over for you. But I think now we are seeing some of the artists who make the best shit that resonate with me are grown motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah. What's your overall of the Michael album? What's your overall number?
8.5.
8.5?
Yeah.
It's like an 8. It's over 8. It's about 8.7.
Okay.
I know that's not a real hard to earn rating, but it's like an 8.7.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I think it's much closer to a 9 than the 8.5. It's,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's right there,
it's really,
man.
It's right there.
It's right there. It's right there. It's really well produced. Really, yeah.
It's like, a lot of surprises. It's not. It's nothing really like. Oh, we've seen this a million times before. It's, you know, even the way he uses Ty Dolla. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I just, you know, you got a right amount of like star quality, big build. It's not a bunch of no names. You know what I'm saying? But then you splash it in with some new names who also deliver. Yeah, man, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's exactly what I wanted to hear from Killer Mike.
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. No, I mean, you know, with spot on. It's with you know, Young Thug's album out, and you know, with, for it to be middle of the year, I think right now he's in the runnings, man.
Oh, nah, I think. I mean, I've seen, you know, depending on what your preference is, but I've seen people say that this is the album.
Yeah, B-Dot said the same thing. B-Dot said the same thing to me. He's like, he thought this was the album of the year.
So well, I got to change how I feel.
Yeah, I know.
So I can't be sitting around here agreeing with B-Dot.
You see his top 10 mixtape list?
I love B-Dot, man. B-Dot is, we talk about growth. Mm-hmm. We watch B-Dot grow and mature, you know, after you unleashed him onto the world. We've seen B-Dot process and grow and become one of the top voices and journalists in this shit, you know.
Grown man.
We talk about thought leaders. He's one of the people that, Elliot, I think he tweeted it today. He was like, you care what we think. And it's true.
There we go.
You know, anybody can make a list. Shout out to Ty. Ty can make a list. Right. Ain't nobody going to double tap that shit. But the B-Dot list, they want to go through the 10 and they want to criticize it. Man.
Shout out to my guy, Michael Render, Killer Mike.
For sure.
Proud of you, boy.
For sure. Great, great project.
Yes, sir.
If you haven't checked it out, definitely check it out. So like, share, subscribe, comment.
Yeah.
Tell a friend to tell a friend. I'm seeing our YouTube numbers grow. You know, people are subscribing more and more. Thank you. Appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank you. You.
I always also see in the comments, oh my God, this is an amazing show, amazing page. Why you guys only got so many followers? And like, well, then tell your people.
How about it?
You know what I'm saying? Help tell out. Your people. This How is an independent.
Because you didn't tell anybody. That's
this
your
is
answer.
An independent homegrown product right here.
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're building this thing Help from scratch. Help but if out. You if you fuck with it, definitely let your people know you're like-minded people. And we will be back with another episode. Of Hard to Earn.
Or we'll be back, or we'll be outside making y'all run them jewels, okay? You want his hair. You want his hair. All right?
If you want respect, you gotta earn it. You damn right!
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.